EUC.
Listeners, and welcome to a special podcast, The Enabling Space, Voices of Civil Society Resilience, a podcast by the European Union System for an Enabling Environment for Civil Society, abbreviated EUC, which is a program implementing an early warning and monitoring mechanism to document changes and shed light on critical trends in the enabling environment for civil society around the world. This is a first episode in a series organized on the sidelines of the release of country-focused reports, which provide a comprehensive evidence-based analysis of the enabling environment for civil society in each participating country on an annual basis. I am Clarice from Forest and super happy to be your host today. Our guest today is David Cote, Global Program Manager at HEVO's lead consortium partner of the EUC program. Hello, David, and thank you so much for making that time to be with us today.
Thank you so much, Clarice, for having me. I'm wonderful to be here with you.
It's a pleasure. Let's start with the big picture. What are country-focused reports and what is the problem that these country-focused reports are trying to solve?
Well, country-focused reports represent one of the main outputs of the European Union System for an Enabling Environment for Civil Society program. They provide a comprehensive analysis of the enabling environment for civil society by identifying both strengths and areas that require attention. They really provide evidence-based overview of the enabling environment. They focus on six main principles as they relate to the enabling environment. And what they are trying to contribute or solve in the enabling environment is the depth of the analysis reveal the state of the enabling environment in each of the six principles. So by using the country-focused reports, they provide evidence as it relates to the enabling environment for key stakeholders around the six principles.
Thank you so much for explaining all of that. And we hope that you out there are having a more or less big understanding of what is happening here. And David, can you walk us through the methodology? How were the reports developed and how does the program ensure that local voices and realities are truly reflected?
It's really important to emphasize that the methodology is implemented by civil society working at national level. They are the ones really responsible for coordinating the methodology and for developing the report. It's very important to know that the country-focused reports are led, developed, and produced by civil society. Now, in terms of the methodology, it's around six major principles on the enabling environment. And these six principles include respect and protection of fundamental freedoms, a supportive legal framework, access and sustainable resources, an open and responsive state, a supportive public culture, and discourses on civil society, and access to a secure digital environment. And the methodology is the same across all 86 countries, even though the contexts are different. The six principles I mentioned encompass various dimensions, which are assessed and aggregated by the network members to provide quantitative scores per principle. So the process is such that the scores reflect the degree to which the enabling environment is in each country. So, for example, we have five indicators as far as the scores are concerned. So if you take the sixth principle, access to a secure digital environment, when the scores are produced, you notice that they are categorized around five major areas, either fully disabling on the one hand to fully enabling on the other hand. And in between, you have disabling, partially disabling, or enabling. So for each principle, you have this course ranked from 1 to 5, either fully disabling or fully enabling. The scores are then complemented by a narrative analysis of the enabling environment, identifying strengths and weaknesses and recommendations. And then the process of developing the scores is very important to mention, because the network member is responsible for convening a panel of between 10 to 15 experts, and these experts work on each of the enabling environment principles, and the experts submit as part of the methodology their scores to the network member, and the scores are assessed during an in-person or virtual or hybrid session together with the panelists, and the panelists represent each of the enabling environment principles or their experts, and they include representatives from civil society organizations. These may be associations or social movements. They are experts in civil society working on academia or think tanks, or they are representatives from civil society centers to ensure that the country focus reports represent a diverse range of views and cover the geographic scope of each country. The panels, as a principle, include 30% of women, or at least 30% of the panel should be women. At least 20% should be representatives from outside of the capital city, at least one academic researcher who focuses on civil society and the enabling environment. The scores from each of the panelists are then analyzed during this meeting, and then they are aggregated by principle. And from that stage, the report is then drafted. Once the first drafts of the reports are developed, there's then an exchange for quality control between the network member and the consortium partner. We call them network facilitator. And after that, the reports are edited again for quality control. They are approved by the researchers in the consortium, signed off, and then published on the digital hub of the EUC.
Thank you so much for explaining that, David. And what are the most striking patterns that have so far emerged?
So far, we are seeing a misalignment of constitutional provisions that guarantee the respect for fundamental freedoms, the right to freedom of association, assembly, and expression, and the policies and actions that are taken by states in some of these countries. So, for example, we are seeing from the reports a continuation of restrictive laws, including NGO laws, foreign agent laws, cyber crimes, and cyber security laws, all of which constrain the enabling environment. We are also seeing from the reports resource constraints across different countries. And these constraints are exacerbated by funding cuts from the US. And the constraints have implications not just on the financial status of civil society organizations, but we are seeing other consequences from the resource constraints, including an increase in the vilification of civil society organizations in certain countries. But we are seeing also from the reports, civil society pushing back on some of these restrictions through advocacy, lobbying, and engagements with different stakeholders.
And if you're out there wondering how you can get access to some of the information David is sharing here, please check the description of this podcast and you will have links to some of the country focus reports that have been published, as well as some country alerts. And aside the publications online, what other activities can the audience look forward to enhancing the understanding of an enabling environment in each of the 86 countries which are part of the EUC network?
This is a very significant question because the reports give us the basis to be able to engage in other actions and activities across the EUC project, but also with other stakeholders that are outside of the EUC project. From the data, we get podcasts like these to shed light on the trends and what the EUC project is and what the findings from some of the reports are. We also have op-eds, articles, thought pieces on specific aspects of the country focus reports across the consortium members, but also the network members that are working at national level use the data from the report in national, regional, and global convenings to share the findings in different regions and at different levels. The data from the report is also used in what we call learning exchanges, where we take countries or representatives from countries that are experiencing particular deteriorations in the enabling environment, and we pair them with representatives from countries that have had similar experiences in the past, bringing on board as well national civil society organizations, international civil society organizations working across some of these countries to share these experiences in these learning exchanges. And then we also expect the disaggregation of the findings using different platforms or processes or means, including infographics that shed light on specific patterns or trends or specific issues that we would want to highlight from each of the country focus reports.
Thank you so much. And looking ahead, although you've mentioned it a bit, how are country focus reports part of a longer-term strategy for evidence, advocacy, and accountability at the EUC?
We will continue to produce the country focus reports because, like you said, they provide evidence relating to the enabling environment. They provide an overview of the state of the enabling environment, and really, advocacy and lobbying and policy making, it is very important to have this evidence. So we aim to use the data and the analysis from the country focus reports regularly in our engagements with key stakeholders, including governments, including international organizations, academia, the private sector, to continue to provide this evidence-based research backed by data, with the objective that it would be used by these stakeholders to develop policies, to change strategies, but more especially to develop laws and legislation that would improve the enabling environment.
Thank you, David. And do you have any final message for those listening to us right now?
Yes, and thank you, Clarice, that the EUC project focuses on 86 countries, 6 consortium partners, and 87 network members working at national level. But the EUC is not a project that works in isolation. We seek to continue to develop partnerships with other projects like the EUC, with other civil society organizations, with other stakeholders that may not be part of the 86 countries or part of 6 consortium partners at the moment. There are several opportunities to share lessons, learn from each other, engage in joint advocacy and lobbying activities, and in joint projects, particularly when it comes to comparing and complementing each other in terms of the data that we have, in terms of the countries that we may not cover at the moment. So there are so many opportunities for us to engage with other stakeholders that are not part of the process. And we proactively reach out to these groups where we have the opportunities to do so. But we also encourage the groups to reach out to us, either through the consortium partners or through network members, so that we can work together jointly to improve the enabling environment in countries that are experiencing deteriorations in the enabling environment.
Thank you so much, David, for taking out time to respond to some of the questions that we had for you. It was indeed a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you to you out there as well for taking out time to listen to us. And we hope you enjoyed the podcast. Our guest today was David Cote, Global Program Manager at EVOS, a lead consortium partner of the EUC program. David spoke about the launch of country focus reports, their relevance, and also what comes next. Stay tuned to the EUC virtual hub and subscribe to our alerts for enabling environment trends for civil society in 86 countries. And until you hear from us next time, take care of yourselves and of each other.
EUC.